right, everyone. Welcome back to the Fundamentally Sound Podcast. Championship game edition. Reeks from Barstool, Ben Brust. Ben, Nova is our national champions, 79-62. And, I mean, it was a flat-out dominant performance for 30 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, 30 minutes and for the whole tournament. They were the best team in the tournament. They were the best team all year. And I think I'd say 90% of the year we were pretty vocal that Villanova was the best team. Naturally, when they lost a couple in the Big East regular season and had some tight games, it's not like we wavered from them being a Final Four contender, but did we know that they're going to be this dominant? I don't think so. But again, like, they were the best team. Jalen Brunson, he's won on every single level. He's been the best player all year. You picked him preseason to be AP Player of the Year. And it's just very fitting. Michigan was outclassed, and there's no other way to put it.
Yeah, and you know what's weird, though, is so they got out of the game. They started the game looking like, okay, here we go. Like, Michigan took advantage. And I talked about it in my preview for the people that read the blog is, you know, Villanova did have a weakness defensively, and it was Omari Spellman guarding the perimeter. Like, he was great. He's a really good defender in the post, but he's a freshman guarding the perimeter. Like, he'll foul the three-point shooter time to time. He gets lost a little bit, and you saw that early when Wagner got 11 points early, and it was, you know, Nova wasn't communicating well, and they got confused on if they were switching 1-4 or 1-5, and then all of a sudden straight-line drive started to happen. And I was like, oh, shit, like, okay, maybe, you know, I thought it was going to be a close game. Like, I thought it was going to be, like, Nova by four. And
yeah, I had, like, a feeling that they could maybe keep it tight. But, again, I've just watched this Nova team too many times this year where even when it feels like it's a tight game, you snap your finger and they just click and something happens. It's usually not DiVincenzo going for 31. It's usually a – you know, ball movement, drive, kick. Like, that's the best part about this team is they've literally been able to win every different way possible, whether that be through their perimeter, whether that be through defense some games. Like, they've found ways to do it. And like you said on Spellman, he's been able to take advantage of, you know, like you said, he's able to guard the post, but when he's had, like, Azubuki, who's been guarding him, they can't get out to him as quick as Mo Wagner can, so that's why you think you saw him struggling a little bit more today, where he's normally been able to just reap the benefits of getting in-rhythm threes. Today they were a little bit more rushed because Michigan had more guys that played with speed on the perimeter, so you could just tell he wasn't as comfortable.
But that's the crazy thing, DiVincenzo stepped up. I don't even think Villanova played well today, right? Like, they had more turnovers. They had more turnovers and assists. Brunson missed, you know, some shots, was in foul trouble. Booth was in foul trouble. Pascal and Spellman didn't really...
Pascal was okay. Booth kind of, like, to me, was not really giving them anything.
Right.
Brunson had in-and-out threes. He was a couple in-and-out threes from having a really solid first half, but then he got in foul trouble. Like, it wasn't their best game.
No.
They still won by 17.
That's the scary thing. And, like, Michigan's obviously a good team. You know, it's not like they 20-pieced, you know, a non-tournament team or a 16 seed. Like, they 20-pieced Michigan.
Yeah, so, again, as you say that, to me, the way I looked at Michigan's game in the Final Four against Loyola is they were like, they're pretty much like Loyola, just next level, playing the Big Ten, a power school, like, you know, they both are efficient offensively. Yeah, like, they're just more, they're way more talented Loyola, and John B., and Porter Moser is a good coach, but John Beilein's proven to be a great coach.
John Beilein's a top coach, yeah.
Yeah, and then if you look at the matchup versus Nova, it's kind of similar in my opinion. I know it's a little bit different in how they play. John Beilein runs a little bit more of like a nerdy type offense in a way where there's a lot more structure. But they're still, in terms of efficiencies and the style of play and what they look to do, is kind of what Michigan looks to do. Just Nova has just, man, they just have so many pieces. I looked at the starting lineup as Michigan and Nova came out, I was like, yikes. Like Michigan is just outmatched here, and the only way they're going to stay in the game is if Beilein can, you know, have some magic happen and Michigan shoot extremely well and play a perfect game.
Yeah, and that's what's weird about this Villanova team. Well, I want to say this first. Two things that I think everybody is now in agreement on, that I thought was already sealed, but now it's sealed for sure, is Villanova is the best program in America over the last 5 years. Ever since conference realignment happened, Villanova is the best program. They have the two titles. They won four conference regular seasons. They've won, I think, three Big East tournaments. They've won, you know, an average of 30 games a year. They have a player of the year in Brunson. They had the runner-up player of the year last year in Josh Hart. They have All-Americans. You know, they are the gold standard in terms of best programs in the last 5 years. And that's nothing to do with conference realignment. I know that's what everybody wants to kind of look at and be like, oh, well, you know, the old Big East. And it's like, no, like they're in a top three conference in America, and they're doing this. What makes
and despite them not being in like the old Big East, like they're still number one getting it done in their conference, but they're producing in the tournament and winning those two championships. So like, I hate when people, and we talked about this before, look at each conference and judge how they do in the tournament. But again, it's no coincidence that a team that went into a conference that people will say is a little bit lesser, even though I don't really buy that, so to speak, and then produced in the tournament, I don't think it's a coincidence.
Yeah, and then, you know, and what, why they are that program is the fact that Jay Wright has the perfect recruiting right now. He's recruiting dudes that fit the system, and he's getting guys that, like, that people want to make it out like he's, like they're not recruiting, you know, top guys. Like, Spellman and Brunson are both top 20 guys. Like, they're getting these, like, a couple top 20 guys, and then they're getting, you know, the four stars that are around, and then they, you know, a lot of red shirts. And like a guy,
I mean, think
Drew
about what
Genzo.
He's been able to do, like with Mikal Bridges. Mikal Bridges was a important piece to their first championship team, but it wasn't like he was a star or a stud. You could see his potential, but doesn't mean it was going to be tapped. I mean, when I thought of Mikal Bridges as that guy on that 2016 team, I thought of him as like a defensive wing who would get in passing lanes and athletic. And then you're seeing him pull up in transition and hit three threes in the second half. Yeah. I mean, obviously he's done it all year. I'm just saying for the people that maybe just watched those two games, his progression as a player is that's not just a testament to him. It's a testament to Coach Jay Wright, putting him in those situations to get better, and what he's done, like you said, recruiting the right guys and getting them better each year.
Right.
It's really just, again, they were the class of the field.
Yep. And then the second statement that was solidified tonight that I think was already solidified before, but Jalen Brunson is the most decorated player in Villanova history now. I don't know if he's necessarily the best player. That's a whole different argument because I don't know if he was better than even Josh Hart. I don't know if he was better than Kerry Kittles. But
Scotty Reynolds.
Yeah, I don't even know if he was better than Scotty Reynolds like his senior year. But Brunson is, I mean, there's no doubt. Like, he is what I think
he's a winner.
Will remember Villanova basketball as. Like, when they look back on this stretch, it's going to be the Jalen Brunson era, I think, first comes to mind because you have the player of the year. You have the two championships. He's probably going to leave after this year, like everyone is suggesting. That's not breaking news. So you have the title to start your career and then to bookend your career. Kind of like how everyone was talking about Grayson Allen in the preseason. Like, oh, he's going to, you know, start his career and bookend his career with the title. It just happened to be now Jalen Brunson in 3 years. So those are my two, like, okay, this is the ones that I don't think you can argue any other program in the last 5 years, and I don't think you can argue any other player will go down more decorated than, or is more decorated than Jalen Brunson at Villanova.
Yeah, and I think Jalen Brunson is going to make a really, really good pro. I mean, number one, he's won at every level. He won a state title in high school. He's won two national titles in college. I'm not saying he's going to win an NBA championship by any means, but I think he'd be a heck of a point guard, if not a, like, unbelievable solid, steady backup point guard for 10 to 12 years. Just, I don't see him not making it at that level, despite not having like that NBA level athleticism or quickness. He's a smart, heady. He played like a veteran backup NBA point guard just in college.
He is exactly what you want in a backup point guard, right? Like, he's going to play for a decade in the NBA as a backup point guard. Like, Our buddy White Sox Dave compared him to like a Chris Doohan type player, and like that career arc makes sense to me. I think you know something like an Andre Miller, Jameer Nelson mix. Like I don't know if he's ever going to be as good as Jameer Nelson was at his peak, but he's going to play 14 years.
I think
like
those,
Jameer Nelson
I think
did.
The combination of those three are perfect. He is that. He's going to be that old soul. He's kind of got that body type too. He's not like lean and cut. He's kind of got a thicker build.
Yeah, he's got a thick ass and wide shoulders. I mean, that's what he has. No, let's call it as
what
it is.
And how excited were you for the rest of the game when you saw Jalen Brunson score first bucket on a post up?
The first two.
Oh, that's right. I mean, the first one was a little more true.
Yeah.
The second one was more of like a fadeaway, but still, yes.
I mean, it's not surprising, right? Like, I mean, that's what they do all year. And then you could see it was an effort, like when they switched Simpson on to DiVincenzo at one point, like DiVincenzo went into the post. So, I mean, that's just, and that's what, so translating to now to Villanova, man, this offense is going to go down as one of the best offenses we've ever seen at the collegiate level. Like when you look at the KenPom numbers, the efficiency numbers, the synergy numbers, it, like numbers will say this is, you know what? I don't know if it's updated yet. I don't know if Ken gets them in there right away, but going and looking at the adjusted of efficiency. And for those who don't know what KenPom does, it is points per 100 possessions. Villanova this year at 36-4, so you have 40 games to this, I believe is already factored in, 127.8 points per 100 possessions.
Yeah, and I think that's only second to the 2015 Wisconsin Badgers. And like I know it's only taken on like 100 per, but there's still going to be so many more possessions that Villanova played than that Wisconsin team,
Wisconsin was at 129.
They're 129.
Yeah, that was their adjusted efficiency, and you're right. Like that's the only team that has a better efficiency, offensive ranking than this year's Villanova team. And what made them so good, and the reason I want to bring that up is, you know, people were saying, well, they live by the three and die by the three, and I didn't think that was necessarily true. Like, yes, like they definitely won because of the three. But they won. They get there because they inverted the offense, like we just talked about with Brunson in the post. Like Doster wrote about it, and we've all talked about it. Villanova doesn't run sets, right? Like they're not sitting there calling out.
No,
they're not sitting there calling out.
They literally have
run
like
two,
three plays.
They don't even have like a true motion offense. It's a feel, right? Like it's play the defense. Like we're gonna cut. We're drive and kick. We're gonna, set ball screens. It's incredibly.
That has been what you just said right there. My favorite part about them is they go game by game, and it's so funny. Like they're so tactical. It's almost like a boxing fight where they feel them out. They feel out where the defense is putting pressure on them, whether it's on the perimeter or if they're letting them kind of get to the rim more. And then you'll see if they're getting space to drive. You'll see Jalen Brunson go baseline. They do the best job. I've never seen guys use the baseline drive so effectively in my life. And then what they do is once they kick it, if it's an open shot, they take it. They always make the right read if it's an extra pass, a fake pass shot. It's literally the magic that Jay Wright has put in them. And it's also funny too because I don't know if you noticed, but I have to mention this. I love when they slow it down. And they look at Jay Wright. It feels like a college football spread offense when they just turn and look over at the coaches. Do you ever notice that? Like they all just get zoned in on Jay. He says what to do, and then they set up the play, and then they go execute. It's just golden.
Yeah, I mean it's incredibly. I mean, and how many times like I tweeted out like it's just basketball porn. But how many times do you see Brunson hit like that wraparound pass from the baseline? That's not a wraparound. It's a wraparound kickout pass, right? Like. It's incredible what they do, and then but what made them, and this is something we started talking about off the air, and I mean you've talked about it nonstop this year is, I truly believe there were no scary teams in college basketball this year. Like looking back on it, yes, we will talk about Villanova as this historic team, but during the season, I don't know if there were really I don't know if they were scary, right? Like, they were dominant. They were great. I don't know if they were scary. Like, to me, like, 2015 Kentucky was scary. Wisconsin was scary. Some of those Arizona teams, scary. So
I'd be interesting. It would be interesting to see how this Nova team would fare against either one of those teams. Because obviously Kentucky.
Somebody during the game tweeted at me and said, is this the best team since 09 UNC? And I don't think, like, I don't think they're better than the 2012 Kentucky or the 2015 Kentucky. I'm not even sure if this team is better. Like, I would listen to an argument for the Villanova team that
for
won
the 2016,
title 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Darcy Danko, Jenkins, Hart.
I mean, it's this team with those guys, right? Like,
yeah, and look, we saw all year how many unranked teams beat ranked teams. It was the most ever in college basketball.
Right.
So that just speaks to the amount of parity that there is. It's so hard to, like, you know, balance that line of saying how dominant were they, because they were that dominant in the tournament. But they did have their fair share of losses in the Big East regular season. They weren't even the Big East regular season champion. So, like,
yep,
I don't want to
yep.
go kind of crazy and say, hey, this is the most dominant team ever, because in a year of parity, they weren't even able
too.
To win their league.
And it's fair to say that because they play around Robin, right? Like, they played the same teams that Xavier did. It's not like they, you know, it's not like the ACC or the Big Ten or the SEC where
it's scheduling.
Right. Like, oh, yeah, well, Xavier won the league because they played, you know, the bottom four teams twice and then top four teams once or whatever. So it's fair to say that. But I think, you know, A, they were dominant in the tournament, winning every game by double digits. They were great all year. I have no problem with that. What teams, like, where would you rank them, in terms of teams? Like, are we for sure saying 15 and 12 can, let's say from the 2010 season on, so the 09-10 season, which was won by Duke on, not even just title teams, but just teams, like, where, like, are we saying for sure 12 and 15 Kentucky are better than them?
I think the 15 Kentucky team is better than them. Like,
I think
defensively,
the
12
too.
Defensively, like, it's hard for me to see them doing what they did.
Right.
But again, this is different. This is a different kind of era.
And it's hard to, like, I'm not a big, I mean, I am a fan, but also not a fan of doing something like this, because it's, you know, it's hard to compare.
Too hard.
Right. Because I mean, it's strictly hypothetical here.
But I will say that at least this Nova team and the way they play, probably since starting even before the 2016 team, but they really started grasping on to the style and, you know, where Jay Wright says he gets his influence of the NBA type, you know, Warriors type style. That was kind of just getting started in 14, 15-ish. So, like, that's why it's a little harder for me to look back and compare, because that Kentucky team in 15 isn't really built to play the style that Villanova does, but they were so athletic and big and good defensively that they would have been fine.
Yeah, 14 guys that you can throw out there to try to find the right matchup against them.
Correct.
So I would say they're probably somewhere in the – I mean, they're a top five team since that 09 UNC team. You know, I think they're in the conversation with those two teams,
Tons of pros that actually played like a veteran college team.
Yeah. And so,
whereas how many pros are really on this Nova team?
Well, that's the other thing. There are, I think, six pros on this team.
Really?
Yep. So obviously Bridges is going to be a lottery pick this year. Jalen Brunson will be an early second round pick this year.
Spellman, and he'll play his way onto a roster.
Yeah, Spellman is he might leave after this year. I was talking to some people down in San Antonio this year, and a lot of what I heard was, it's going to be interesting to see, like, based on what happens in tonight's game and how he plays. He's a pro regardless, right? Whether it's this year or next year. DiVincenzo is going to be drafted next year. So there's four right there. I think Pascal makes his way onto the team, onto a team. So there's five. So, okay, maybe five pros on the team then.
Fair or unfair, I still think DiVincenzo has to have a super solid year to back up like this performance, and he's going to have a ton of pressure on him to do more than he had to do than just to come in and be kind of the microwave.
I think the jury's still out on that. I mean, he's going to be a pro. Like I've heard from a lot of people that know that stuff. Like they're like, yeah, he's, I mean, the dude's going to play in the NBA. Like he's going to get drafted. But next year, like, all right, worst case scenario, he's probably still coming back with a team of him, Booth, Pascal, Gillespie, Samuels, Cosby Roundtree, and then they bring in Javon Quinterly and a couple other dudes. So it's like, he doesn't even have to be like, you know, he doesn't have to do the...
he can just do the Villanova system and play he's been playing.
He doesn't have to do the Ethan Happ, right, where he has to come back with like four dudes that have just never played serious minutes before. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we all know how that works.
Right, but that what I kind of mean by that, like he can come back and he can just continue to do what he does of being this volume scorer kind of like.
What about Michigan? What do you think about them coming back with Wagner leaving?
If Wagner leaves, I think they're fine. Like I think Teske's really good. Now
I'm actually a big Teske fan. Grew on me as the year went on.
So the look obviously different because he's not the same player that Wagner is. But you know, Teske, Matthews, Simpson. They obviously
Jordan Poole.
Poole and Livers. Like that's a pretty solid starting five. That might win you the Big Ten.
Yeah, Big Ten is kind of iffy as it was this year. I really don't know how much better it gets. It really just has to have a better non-conference season to really boost its resume. Because I don't think it was as bad as people made it out to be. Obviously, you have Michigan making it. I'm saying from the sixth team up. Obviously, I mean,
you had a top seven
team. Yeah, but Penn State again won the NIT and looked really good doing it without Mike Watkins.
Yeah, but I don't buy a whole lot of the fifth
and sixth place finishing teams in the Big Ten did the best out of anyone. So I'm just saying it wasn't as horrendous as it was made out to be, based off how the teams at least got better and showed up at the end of the season.
Yeah,
and I think that's fair.
To a degree, I don't like judging, like switching my thought process on a conference based on postseason.
And it's not even about postseason. It's about how they, finish the Big Ten regular season. And it's not postseason if you just think, there's one game and done.
Right.
If they start winning and beating good teams consistently, whether it's postseason or regular season, I think it's fair to judge that way.
Right. Okay. I get that. I think they'll be a favorite to win the Big Ten next year, even if Wagner leaves.
Really? Yeah, I guess I got to do my homework again.
Yeah, because I mean,
figure out who's going, who's leaving, who's coming back.
Purdue loses, obviously. Purdue loses a lot. Michigan State loses a lot.
So Michigan State system will carry them to at least be decent.
Yeah, and
Michigan will be good.
And Purdue should be decent next year, assuming Carson Edwards comes back.
How about the irony of the SEC being like almost like the best league, statistically, and getting the most teams in the NCAA tournament, and then not really getting anyone in the Final Four? But when it comes to the last, like, 5 years, they consistently get teams in the Final Four, but
yeah,
don't have as good of a league. So that's how fluid, like, we talk about leagues are and teams are.
Yeah, they had three Elite Eight teams
in postseason judging.
Yeah, three Elite Eight teams last year and none this year.
And it was supposed to be, like, the best conference that got in the most teams.
Right, right. So, with this Nova team, going back to Nova, I mean, is there any other takeaway that you can have besides just they were a great team in the regular season and then dominant in the postseason? Like, is that the fair assessment?
I think that's a totally fair assessment because, look, in any sport and in any team, you're going to have ups and downs. It's so rare to have a perfect season nowadays that it's okay to go through a little funk and lose four or five games, because at least you get it out of the way and you then have to work through something and it didn't hit you late in the year. So it's not like they were a bad team when they were losing those games. It just was they had some stuff to figure out. And I think sometimes that's a blessing in disguise. I know what happened to me my senior year. Started 16-0, best team in school, best start in school history. Lose 5 of 6 in the Big Ten, then win 8 straight, and you know, find your groove heading into the postseason. Like, there are, it's okay to not be perfect all year.
Yeah, no, I mean, like,
Virginia,
this year,
perfect all year, pretty much. What happened?
Yeah, I mean, they lost 4 games, right? Like, that's not terrible. Like, now the four games were at Butler. That's fine. And then, but then you lose at home to St. John's. Like, that's the one that everyone remembers.
Oh, you're on Nova. Yeah, that was a bad one.
But I mean, there are other, like, there. Here's a good question. Let's see what you think the number is. How many were the 4 losses? What were the total points that they lost by?
4 losses, total points that they lost by. Can't be a lot. The worst loss, I think, was Providence.
No.
Who was it? Butler?
Yes.
Yeah. What was the total, like 12, 14?
23. It's an average of less than 6 points a game. Right.
So I mean, it's uncomparable to the rest of the nation. So.
Right. Like, that's crazy. Like, that's absolutely crazy. Like, yes, you can, like, you know, you look at 4 losses, and I, again, I'm not sitting here saying, like, losses are okay, but, like, they never got blown out, and that says a lot about a team.
Yeah, if you're in every game, that says how good you really are, and what you've built is consistency, and you know you're going to have a chance in every game, whether it's your best game or not.
Right, right. So, I mean, it, to me, it feels right that Villanova won, too. Like, you know, we talked about it in the preseason. When it comes to the NCAA tournament, I just want, like, preferably 4 top 20 teams in the Final Four and 2 top 15 teams in the national championship. We got 3 top 20 teams in the Final Four. We got 2 top 15 teams in the national championship. And I feel like we got, you know, the number 1 team in the country that won it. And it just feels right.
Yeah, it feels right, except the feeling that we're feeling now of not being able to watch any college basketball until next year.
I know. Draft season. Baby.
Championship Monday scaries.
I know. All right. You got anything else to say?
I'm going to sleep.
Yeah, me too. It's been a long weekend. All right. We're out of here.
All right, dude.